You see, man is unrighteous and needs righteousness. And God provides that righteousness through Jesus Christ. By faith, we receive His righteousness, and then we exhibit that in our behavior as we trust the righteous God.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
And Greg, give us a preview of what we'll see today.
Well, Dave, we're going to continue our look at Ezekiel chapter 14, where the Lord makes the point through Ezekiel that righteous associations do not save us. Okay, well, what am I talking about? Well, let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 14, and we're looking at verses 22 to the end.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
But ultimately, our sin is against God. You remember David when he was confessing in Psalm 51? No, he says here in Psalm 51, you could turn there, Psalm 51. By the way, David's a real believer. He messed up. He committed adultery. But when he was confronted, he repented. You see? And he suffered the consequences. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. Psalm 51, verse 1. For the choir director, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, I have sinned and done evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak and blameless when thou dost judge. That's true repentance. I deserve every bit. You are just in what you say. You are just in your judgment. That's true repentance. We see that. And also we see there, and we won't read this, but there's true restoration also, by the way. Praise the Lord for that, for the true believer who confesses their sin, right? So here our passage says, if a country sins against me, or a land, but it speaks of a country, it could be a nation. It's not speaking of the land. It's using, doesn't have that article in there. It's not speaking of Israel. It's speaking of, in general sense, if a nation sins against me. And we start to think, oh my, we are sinning against him. Oh man, there's a lot of nations sinning against him. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, on a side note, just remember too that when we sin against others, you know, we have sinned against them, but we need to confess to the Lord about sinning against him too. You know, Lord, I sinned against you. When I sinned against them, I really did. Lord, forgive me. So now look at this. So in a nutshell, we have the cause of God's judgment upon a country or nation, which is sin. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, if a country sins against me. Now he's going to qualify that with this phrase, by committing unfaithfulness. Interesting statement here. The term committing unfaithfulness in Hebrew speaks of faithlessness, treacherous acts. And it speaks of acts in relationship with or without the Lord. It speaks of acts with terms of a relationship, committing treachery. Committing treachery is where there should be a relationship, where there isn't, or where there is, and it's been sinned against. Now, we understand this term unfaithfulness in regards to relationships. We understand that. It's treacherous. It's treacherous. You know, when someone commits unfaithfulness to his wife and is unrepentant, certainly the unfaithfulness is treacherous to start with, but unrepentant, that's treachery. It's like that Lawson guy, treachery. The reality, when you commit that and you don't repent, we see in Scripture that when someone doesn't repent through the process of church discipline, they should be treated as a non-believer. Don't pray for that guy as a believer. Pray for him to get saved. Pray for Satan to work on him as he's put out of the church. Side note. But that's unfaithfulness. That's treachery. So what God is saying here is it's unfaithfulness in relationship to him. And you say, well, no, the nations really know him. Well, they should. They should. Turn to Romans chapter 1. I mentioned this earlier. You see, man was created by God to worship God alone. But man in his sinfulness suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. And within that, man spirals into idolatry and immorality. Romans chapter 1. And notice this idea of wrath and judgment, okay? Think about that, because that's what we're looking at. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. We see in Ecclesiastes, God has set eternity in their hearts. It's within them and it's known to them. And he explains, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, that's the creation, so they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. If a country commits unfaithfulness, and he says here, if it does so, and he says, my unfaithfulness, and what's he going to do? Very simply, he's going to judge. Or he's saying he has the right to judge here, as he'll say. He's the right to judge. He's going to talk about four different ways in which he does it. But he's going to make a point within these four different ways, which are the same ways he's going to judge Israel, that even though he's going to judge, you might have a righteous person in there, a religious guy that knows me, who trusts me, and is a good guy. Will that save the country? Because I think the Jews are thinking, hey, we're Abraham's offspring. We're Jews. We're God's people. He's not going to do this. That's a false prophecy being said by Jeremiah. That's not true. That's what they're saying. Peace and safety. Now, that was the true false prophecy, by the way. So here, notice he begins to share four different types of judgment that he might bring upon a country for their unfaithfulness, for turning away from him, for not turning to him, okay? Verse 13, Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, and I stretch out my hand against it and destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it and cut off from its both man and beast, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord God. This is a hypothetical circumstance. This is a hypothetical situation here, okay? And so here we see this, that if a country sins and he stretches out his hand, doing what? He's judging. You say, well, these don't say they're judgments, but notice they are. Even look at verse 21. For thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send for severe judgments against Jerusalem? The implication is these are judgments, but how much more when I send my severe judgments? So here we have, Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, I stretch out my hand, talks about famine. And I do this. If I do this. Now what I want to do is I want to talk about these four judgments first, and then we'll talk about Noah, Daniel, and Job. Okay? So let's walk through each one, then we'll talk about these guys and why that's in there, okay? But you say, wait a second, sounds pretty harsh. Going to destroy people through famine if they're unfaithful to him? Well, we're going to see that the ultimate unfaithfulness is to reject Jesus Christ. The ultimate unfaithfulness is to reject a faithful God who offered the solution to your sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you reject him, you are completely unfaithful. And you are worthy of his judgment, as we'll see. So here we see that Ezekiel, throughout this book, God has stretched out his hands to the Israelites over and over again, continually warning them to repent. And we'll see this later on. Does he take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? No, rather they would repent and live. So here, when we think of famine, in a general sense, we think of, you know, that's just something bad happening, right? Well, God, in this circumstance, is saying, I'm taking credit for it. When I cut off the bread, when I do this to discipline a country. Now, we need to recognize that God is sovereign over the events of earth. He is sovereign. And what he does is in response. We'll see that. Look at Amos chapter 3. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter 3. This is what Amos says concerning the northern kingdom which fell in judgment, okay? That's what he says. And notice, God takes full responsibility for the natural events that happened. Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Hear the word which the Lord has spoken against you, sons of Israel, against the entire family which he brought up from the land of Egypt. You only have I chosen among the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Do two men walk together unless they've made an appointment? Does a lion, now people use this stuff out of context, but here, does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion growl from its den unless he has captured something? Does a bird fall into the trap on the ground when there is no bait in it? Does a trap spring up from the earth when it captures nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people tremble? If a calamity occurs in a city, has not the Lord done it? He's saying when two men go together to make an appointment, they walk together. They made a plan. He's implying, have I not brought this about? And you go, wow, okay. Now, we need to be warned here because we are very judgmental and self-righteous at times. And we might say, ooh, look at that calamity. God is judging it. Well, leave that for God to say, not for you to say, and not for me to say. You know, because the point is, unless you repent, you'll perish likewise. Turn to Luke chapter 13. The Lord Jesus answers this same thought of where they're asking a question. Hey, were these guys more sinners that this situation happened to them? And God doesn't answer their question in that sense. He answers a question, you better be right with him. That's the real key. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him, that's speaking to Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. They were slaughtered, and he mingled it with their sacrifices, okay? And he answered and said to them, do you suppose these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that the 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Don't make a judgment, but we know God is sovereign. And if God says he did it, then I say God did it, right? So here, God is saying, if I do this, you know, if I bring this about because of their unfaithfulness, he's going to make the point that even though they got righteous people in their midst, that's not going to save them. Notice he says, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, that's a hypothetical thing because they're not around, right? Daniel was around, but not Noah and Job. They were long gone and with the Lord by that time, right? So it's hypothetical. But he's using them as examples. In their midst, by their own righteousness, they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord. The implication, as we'll see, is righteousness delivers from wrath. You see, man is unrighteous and needs righteousness. And God provides that righteousness through Jesus Christ. By faith, we receive his righteousness, and then we exhibit that in our behavior as we trust the righteous God. So we'll look at these guys in a minute, but now notice the second judgment he speaks of, wild beasts. Verse 15. If I were to cause wild beasts to pass through the land and they depopulate it, God's saying, hey, I can do that. I'll do that. If I did that, if I were to cause it to happen, and it became desolate so that no one would pass through it because of the beasts. Though these three men were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters. They alone would be delivered, but the country would be desolate. Again, another judgment. Now, again, the judgments he's talking about here are the exact same ones he would bring upon Jerusalem, and we'll see this in a moment. The term depopulated is a pretty vivid word. New King James says make empty, but it's in its PL form, which means make childless. It's used to speak of a miscarriage. It's used to speak of life ceasing. If I was to depopulate the life of that land through wild beasts, I was to make life cease. God takes full credit for that. And then notice sword. Verse 17. Or I should bring a sword on a country and say, let the sword pass through the country and cut off man and beast from it, even though these three men were in its midst. As I live, declares the Lord, they could not deliver either their sons or daughters, but they alone would be delivered. See the pattern there? This is talking about bringing a sword. It's talking about war. It's talking about a nation that comes and slaughters people to destroy men. An army coming and destroying the people in the country. That's what it's talking about. And God takes full credit for this, if I were to do it. Don't mess with God, by the way. Don't be arrogant. And notice he says in verse 19, we see plague. Or if I should send a plague against that country and pour out my wrath in blood on it to cut off man and beast from it, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord, he says here, they could not deliver either their son or their daughter. They would only deliver themselves by their righteousness. Again, the same argument, right? And here he's talking about a plague. And what's a plague? It's basically a disease that kills. And here the plague would be because of sin. Now we saw a 20th century example of that would be AIDS, right? Not everyone who got AIDS was a sinner, but the majority of them got it because of their sinful lifestyle. We know that. Certainly a plague. And notice the added statement. He says, and pour out my wrath in blood on it. The term wrath speaks of being hot, speaks of anger, and it's God's righteous anger. He's intensely mad at sin and sinners. Those who have rejected the provision of his forgiveness, by the way. That's really the key. Pouring out his wrath in blood. This is serious stuff. So what can we gather from the first portion of this text here? God takes full credit for whatever means he brings judgment upon those who sin, who are unfaithful. He talks about a nation here. God is mad at sin and sinners. So mad he would pour out his judgment. You see, in the scheme of things, man is accountable to his creator. Let me share some verses. We'll walk through these. But turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And you have a couple choices how to respond to these verses. One is thankfulness that Jesus Christ took our judgment. Or two, you might be angry that God would do it, and that's a very dangerous attitude. Or three, you might say, why would he do that, rather than seeing the truth of what he says. Try to make excuses. Matthew 12, 35, the good man out of the good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, by your words you shall be condemned. I read earlier Psalm chapter 7. You could turn there, Psalm chapter 7. Psalm 7, I want to start in verse 9. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end. Amen. But establish the righteous. Another amen. For the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. If you don't repent, God will bring his judgment. He is angry at sin. Look at Psalm 96, verse 9. Worship the Lord in holy attire. By the way, don't come and worship him in your sin. I think about that guy who's unrepentant, how many communions he took in his wickedness, right? Not good. Worship in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all it contains, let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. And I mentioned this one earlier in Ecclesiastes, after declaring the truth that was brought forth all by one shepherd, speaking of the word of God. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12, but beyond this, my son, be warned, the writing of books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearing to the body. Get that? Side note, I used to have people come and say, what books do you like as a preacher? I go, well, the Bible? I mean, I'm like, I don't have a bunch of books. I like the word of God, you know? Nothing wrong with books. But excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. We should be about the Word of God. There's a contrast. The Word of God versus excessive devotion to books. Nothing wrong with books, but excessive is wearying to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. There's a judgment, and I'm so glad that I've been spared from that. I'm so thankful because I know my own sin so well, and I'm so thankful I'm forgiven and it's covered. So thankful. Turn to Romans chapter 2. After addressing those who are condemned and under His wrath, those pagans in chapter 1, the Lord goes to speak to the Jews who thought they were saved but were really not, that they're under the same judgment because they commit the same things. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, therefore you are without cause, every one of you who passes judgment, that you judge another, for you condemn yourselves. Romans 2, verse 1, second half, for you who judge practice the same things or continually do the same things. And we know that the judgment of God falls rightly on those who practice such things. And do you suppose, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and the revelation of a righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to every man who does good, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For all have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. Those who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers will be justified. Now, in the context of Romans, those who are justified by faith. But they do what is right because they've been saved. He's going to give an example of saved Gentiles who do it naturally, instinctively do what is right because they're saved Gentiles. They do so and they are justified in that context because they've been justified by faith. Let's see that. So with that in mind, judgment is coming. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will reap. Now, regardless of how you've been told or what you feel, the Word of God is clear. He will bring every act to judgment. And this ought to make you tremble if you're not saved. Everything.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, how should we respond to what you've taught us in this message?
Well, Dave, I think very simply there is some listening that should truly be trembling right now because every act will be brought to judgment. And folks, we all fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And so if you haven't had your sins covered, if you haven't been saved through faith in Jesus, you are in a terrible position because all you have to look forward to when you die is judgment and then eternal condemnation and punishment. But God is so gracious. He sent his son Jesus, and he took on the wrath of God on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And if you turn to Jesus Christ and trust in him, he will save you. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and you will be delivered from the wrath of God.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.